UFO Radio, and we want to thank you very much for listening to our show tonight, and we want to welcome Vincent Vera on his premiere show with The Journey Home. What we would ask of you at this point in time is to go over to the site burlingtonnews.net/Vera, B-A-R-R-A. And there you will be able to find Vincent's site, as well as a link to his website with his telephone number and contact, as well as information on how you're able to interact with Vincent on this show tonight. Now, for you that are able to get over there, just remember, all you have to do is call us at 262-767-2864. We get your telephone number, and then we call you back. So there, it's our dime, your time. As well as that, if you can't get through, we highly, highly suggest that you use your Yahoo Instant Messenger, where you'll be able to ask the questions by simply clicking on Send Instant Messenger using our contact name of Burlington News. That's two words into one, Burlington News. There's two N's in there, B-U-R-L-I-N-G-T-O-N-N-E-W-S, Burlington News. And then ask your question, and there, we are watching our screens, so we'll be able to see that question pop up, and I can ask Vincent right away. So, I suggest using your Yahoo Instant Messenger, but of course you're always welcome to talk to Vincent personally by calling us again at 262-767-2864. And welcome to the show, Vincent.
Well, thank you for having me.
I see that you just put me on as add to messenger list.
I listen to everything you tell me. You said it.
You shouldn't do that. A lot of people have regretted that one.
Well, so far I haven't.
Okay. And all of our listeners are looking forward to asking you questions tonight. We have a few people that actually contacted us earlier today, you know, with telephone numbers, and other people are already sitting here on our instant messenger waiting to have a chance. But I'm going to be selfish, Vincent.
Okay.
I'm going to, before we get into any in-depth psychic readings, I would like for you to use this time right now to introduce yourself. Give yourself a proper introduction, because this is a premiere show, and I want people to really get to know you and how we are going to be working together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm Vincent J. Barra, and in fact, I was just looking at my the index for my show from another station, and I called them immediately and I said, you got to put my J in there. And I said, because it's a numerology thing. So I'm a numerologist, and I'm a psychic. There's not much I could say about myself other than that this is my job, this is what I do, and my main focus is when I speak to someone, my thing is that I don't take questions. So everyone out there, if you're going to call in or send in an instant message, send in your question if you want an instant message, but and say and pick out any three numbers between 1 and 9. And what I really do is that I try to find the thing that's in your life, that one problem that's in your life or situation, and that if you work on that, everything else turns out okay. And that's what I look for. I've heard other psychic shows, and excellent psychics, actually. There's some great psychics. There's some very talented people out there. There's no doubt about it. But I hear some of them where someone calls in and they go on about, I'm in this relationship 3 years and this is what happened and everything. And it's kind of like, then the answer is just a comment.
Yeah, and pretty much just common sense answer.
Yeah.
You know, which anyone could do, you know. But no, of course, speaking about psychics, the Journey Home is a show that BUFO is doing to help empower people. We're putting the pieces together in order to help you find your path for your journey home. And Vincent J. Barra is one has his show on here, as well as Rochelle Sparrow. And Vincent was on Rochelle's show last night, which was live streamed through Burlington News or BUFO Radio. So anyhow, these two psychics actually got together last night for a show, which I wasn't able to participate in, but I enjoyed thoroughly.
It was a great show. Rochelle is a wonderful person. Is a very warm-hearted. She's a very warm-hearted person.
Well, besides that, it gives a nice balance, you know, male, female.
Exactly. Yeah. The yin and the yang.
And then I'm kind of like the in-betweener.
What I'd like to mention, some of the other things that I do, is one project that I have now going on, which is very dear to my heart. I have created an international healing circle, and right now we have a little over 2,000 healers and shamans and people who do laying on the hands and prayers, intuitives. We have about a little over 2,000 participants right now. And this International Healing Circle, what we do is that every day at every moment, someone of this International Healing Circle, either one or several hundred or even a couple thousand at that time, will be sending healing energy into a band that will be that we're creating around this globe. And anyone who would like to participate in it, who needs a healing, whether it be on an emotional level, a mental level, a spiritual level, or a physical level, or even, and I hate to say this one, but money is important. I don't want to diminish it. Even a financial situation where you need some help or some guidance. And what you do is just go to my website, VincentMyFuture.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see Request a Healing. And just fill out the form, and all the form really asks is for the person's name, their whereabouts, and their condition. And then what we'll do, we'll put them into this healing circle for 60-plus days, and it gives you instructions on what you should do in order to become part of this healing energy.
That's so amazing, because it shows that we have some sort of a parallel life or a parallel path, because years ago I created a healing circle too, and I designed a group called Living in the Light. It's a Yahoo group, and we call it the Spirit Warriors, where people go in there and through concentrated prayer use it for healing, or, you know, acting upon the request of people that send in messages, you know, that have been on that side of our healing circle. So it seems like I've chosen well as far as the people I'm going to be having on this show, you know, for the journey home. So that's wonderful, because people really need that, especially in the days that are upon us.
My name is in it. I sent myself an email for that.
For what?
For me. I sent an email. I put my name in, Vincent J. Barra, Palm Springs, California. Condition. I felt the press stages coming my way, and I didn't think that I had enough energy to combat them. It's the winter blues.
Yeah.
And because I have so much going on right now, I have to be at my best level, my best peak. And this is exactly what I wrote, by the way. Can you please pray for me or send me healing energy so I can strengthen myself?
Oh, that was, and you sent it to yours or mine?
I sent it to my healing energy.
Oh, okay.
I sent it to my list.
Okay. Well, I get, yeah, okay. I just got a little confused.
But the thing is that you say that you created this list and I created a list. And actually, the reason why we do anything is for us.
Yeah, and besides, I think too that we also tap into a collective energy out there, where, you know, there's so many of us, you know, that we're all working together. Well, there's a bunch of us working together for a purpose, you know, and this is just one of the many tools that one can use in order to help empower people, is a healing circle. Such as what you have and I have.
I've named these people. They're called, for me, I call them the light bearers.
Yeah, and I call mine the spirit warriors.
Yeah, there you go. And these are the people that, I've met a few of them along the way. I had the privilege of them choosing me as their psychic, and I'm so glad because I got to see realms that I would never have seen or never even known existed had it not been through their mind. And these really are very ordinary people doing extraordinary work. And the most incredible thing that I have discovered about these light bearers, the ones that really change the tide of the events of this whole planet. And that's what I'm talking about as a light worker, as a light bearer, rather. And actually, when you meet them, they're very humble people. In fact, they don't even know they're doing it. They're just doing their job.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mother Teresa, she just thought she was just doing her job.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what it is. It's just people, ordinary people, like I say. But anyhow, I realized with some of them, and I hope I'm right about this. I realized with some of them that these are souls that have finished their journey of the human journey. Of course, you know, we're always continuing, growing and growing in different realms and whatever really is out there. But they're finished with the human. They just decided to come back and to shed light on something that will help everybody.
Well, some people are forced to come back, too.
Well, I'm not talking about those. Those are whole different. But these are somewhat, I don't want to call them avatars. But like I said, their earth journey was over with. The flesh journey or the matter journey was over with.
I remember I had a life regression done. And I remember dying and then going through this type of tunnel. You know, there's all these little sparklies in there, you know, I imagine the little souls. And I was at some place, I can't really tell you where it was, but it was a place that I was very comfortable in, you know, and just really didn't want to come back to the earth plane. And through the hypnosis process, I remember being pulled out of there, saying that I had to go back, and I refused to go. And they says, "Well, you got away with it the first time, but this time you're going." And I remember looking upon a stern face, saying, "Okay," and here I am. So that's why I know that some people, you know, regardless, they can come. They may come back kicking and screaming, but for whatever purpose, they are sent back here to this plane. So. Such is life, huh, Vincent?
Well, no, I'm actually happy in this plane of existence. I love Earth. Yeah. I love the human experience.
Yeah, it.
I don't think there's any drudgery about it. I just think it's. I love it. I love the fact that I have television and movies and art and creativity, and I love the fact of the architecture that's around me, the fauna. I mean, the whole existence of it. And I wouldn't hate to think that I came back here as a punishment.
Well, I didn't come back as a punishment. I came back apparently for a job. And I think that some people are, that they do come back not just to just shed light, you know, on others, but they actually have come back here for a purpose, some sort of a job that needs done, and you know, and here we are, you know, and you are definitely correct in what you said, because I mean, if a person just stops and quits complaining, you know, like I do,
like
you
we
know,
all do,
yeah, they would notice. What they need to do is just start seeing the beauty of Earth, because all you have to do is look up in those big, beautiful blue sky, you know, and see those white, fluffy clouds, or go out into the woods and enjoy nature, talk to the trees, pick up a rock, hear what the rock has to say, or just sit back quietly and watch, you know, the wildlife there, or listen to the birds. There's so much beauty in this world, but we just get caught up in the 9-to-5 type of existence, you know, where we go to work and then come home, switch on that old television set, and kick back and start accumulating all the subliminal messages, you know, that's
out
there.
I think one of the main problems with enjoying one's life and you know, the keys to the kingdom, and these keys, if you follow the keys to the kingdom, your life becomes just bliss. Just, it really becomes nirvana here on Earth. And the keys of the kingdom are very simple keys. And no, not major, nothing major that you have to alter within your personality or perception or your life or how you react to life. Very, very simple things. And you're absolutely correct about that. Taking time out and just stop and smell the coffee.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
And you know, no one has time to do it, but you don't realize that if you take time out, you'll have more time to do what you have to do.
Well, we have to make time for it. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that time,
if we're going to have a quality,
those 10, 15 minutes, a half an hour, whatever, will create many productive hours for you, because when you don't take time out to stop from what you're doing, it becomes monotonous. When something becomes monotonous, then your mind just wanders, and when your mind wanders, the work is done wrong.
Well, Vincent, what is your favorite thing to do? Now, if you had to take 10 minutes off in your life in each day, what would you most want to do?
Well, now, are you looking for a spiritual answer? Or
no, I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
Okay, I'll give you the Vincent answer.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have 5 minutes to myself.
I know.
I wish I had 5 minutes to myself. But I'll tell you what I do when I stop everything and I just kind of collect my thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I think the greatest thing for me to do at that point is know that I'm not responsible for anything.
I would like all of you listeners to just sit back and think, what would you do if you had 10 minutes that you could choose to do anything you wanted to do? What would you do in those 10 minutes? Now, me, I'll tell you what I do. I got a puppy. His name is Max. He's like 8 months old now. And he's a little whippersnapper, you know, but a lot of fun. And with me, I just take time off every day to just play with that dog, you know. And you know, when you're playing with a puppy, you're not thinking of anything else except surviving, you know, because they're just all over you.
Exactly.
You know? But I mean, you know, that's my escape. You know.
And you know, work is an escape also.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Some people will go to work to escape.
Yeah.
And you know, and then we have to look at the word escape. And there's a segment that I want to introduce called, and I do it almost on all the shows, it's called Words That Work.
Mm-hmm.
And Words That Work is a segment where what happens, and I think that's what I would like to do within these couple of hours that we're together on Thursdays, is to actually make this Earth Development or Life Development or Path Development, whatever you want to call it, 101.
Okay, we can do that.
Where every week we'll come in with a message or something to do. And if you do this homework, and it is homework, your life will start to change. And one of the things that everyone should learn how to do is listen to what you are saying to yourself.
Exactly.
Because most of the day, we say horrible things to ourselves.
Exactly.
Horrible things that I wouldn't say to the neighbor next door. And yet, we choose these words and these attitudes to just dwindle down our expectations more and more and more. It's called life. It's called age. The older you get, supposedly the more jaded you become or the more tired you become. There is a way, if you did go down that path, if you did buy into that, and also because your physical body is there also and your mental mind is there also. You know, after 40, 50 years of life, you're kind of like a little tired. And sometimes you get burnt out. I know people in their 20s. They're burnt out from school, from all those repetition of all those years of school. One of the things you should do is learn what you are saying to yourself. And as you start paying attention to how you treat yourself, you'd be surprised how life becomes so much nicer. Because the reason why it gets better, nothing changes, by the way. You still go to work, you're still in your relationship, you still have the kids, you still have your obligations. But what happens is that you do all those things with more passion and more enthusiasm. And once you find your passion again, and that's what's lost year after year, year after year, the drudgery of life, the things that we have to be responsible in life, we lose our passion and our enthusiasm.
Well, this is what this show is all about, is to give that back to you. Esoterica writes in and says her time are dawn and sunset. She takes them every day just for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's her gift to herself.
Absolutely.
The dawn and
that's
her
one
sunset.
Of the greatest things to do is to always give yourself a gift every single day.
Yeah, because it says, hey, I'm special.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anyone out there to love you as long as you love yourself. As a matter of fact, I remember one time I was going through this dark time. I was going through a divorce, one of my many. But anyhow, it was what you know. It was like I'm sitting around and I'm thinking, well, I don't have anybody in my life, you know. And it was coming up Valentine's Day, and I'm thinking about it. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that to myself. So I went to the store and I bought myself this great big old white teddy bear that was holding this big old heart that says, I love you. And I went and I bought it just for me. And I took it home. And I sat it right where I could see it, you know. And every time, you know, and boy, I'll tell you, you wouldn't believe how that changed my attitude, you know. Because, you know, at that point in time I realized, hey, I don't need anyone to spoil me. I don't need anyone to take care of me. I have me. I can do it. If I need someone to tell me they love me, in the ways around, that's fine. I'll tell myself I love me. You know, I need a box of candy instead of wait for Valentine's Day or birthday or whatever. I go out and buy myself something, and I buy it, and I say, here you go, Mary. And then I'll say, well, thank you, Mary. And then Mary says, I love you. And I say, I love you, too. You know, and so everything's fine in the world.
I mean, as silly as that sounds, because that's really silly. I mean, how silly of you.
Well, of course.
That is the best thing that you could have done for yourself. And like I said, the keys to the kingdom, to having a better life, are really very silly little simple things.
You betcha.
Now we look at it, and I was teasing you with saying silly, because that's the way people look. Oh, that's so stupid.
Well, that's fine. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with being silly. You know, it's fun to be silly.
Actually, it's fun to be a child.
Yeah.
To be a child in the sense of there are two things that I admire in children. And I'm so sorry that we squash it as grown-ups and as their teachers and as their mentors, and we squash it in them. And that's enthusiasm and passion. You give a kid a box, watch them play.
Yeah, and we take away their imagination, too.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the empowerment of the show, I'm going to pull you back a little bit, and I'm going to get back more with Vincent here. You've actually worked as a psychic detective, right, for the police force?
Yes. When I first started, I worked for several police departments all in the East Coast, and I worked with finding dead bodies. Actually, was my forte. I don't know why I had a propensity to know where bodies were. I don't know why. I didn't know anything about them. There are some psychic detectives that they can tell you the whole story that went on. At that point, I was more interested in helping the family to locate that missing child or that missing person.
And how did you go about doing that?
I've always,
that's one of my favorite shows, is I'm always watching those psychic detective shows on TV, because I find them so fascinating.
When I first moved to California, a doctor came to me, and he said to me, can you help me? My brother's been missing now for about a week. And I said, okay. I said, well, let's first sit down and figure out maybe where your brother could be based on his pattern. I said, so you go in a room, and you try to figure that out. What does he do? Where did he go? What was said? Really sit down, and if you need to call people, do that. I said, I'll come back tomorrow, and I'll give you what I think it is.
Uh-huh.
And so when we met again, which was just the next morning, I said to him, I said, can we meet at an airport? And we met at this airport, and I knew someone that had a private plane. I had a feeling that he was up in the Sierra Mountains. Something told me that he was up in this mountain. And the fact of the matter is that he had done something. Not that he did anything that was illegal, but he had done something that for him was the worst thing that he can do to another person. And because of that, his shame and everything, he just took off and he got lost.
Yes, and so you were able to find him?
Yes, actually we were, because what happened when we got to the airport, when I got to the hangar, I went to speak to George, who was the pilot, and there he had all these maps and everything. He said, so where are we going? I said, I have no idea. I said, I'm waiting for the other fellow to show up, because I want to see what he wrote down and everything. I said, then I'll let you know. And so I said, but I know it's in this vicinity. and I pointed out, I think it was maybe a 5-square-mile patch. And I said, it's somewhere in here. And so when the other fellow showed up and he gave me his writings and we went through them and everything, we realized that he would have been where there would be an animal rescue, because that's what he loved doing. And sure enough, there was an animal rescue place up there. And he was all the way in the backwoods, really dehydrated and lost.
Now, when you say something told you, how do you pick that up? Is it you just get like a mental thought, and or is it a mental image or a certain feeling, you know? Because it seems to me that all psychics have various techniques, you know, which one technique will work for one where another doesn't work.
Right, as all musicians play different instruments, but some can play them all.
Uh-huh.
And some can play many.
And
this is what it is. You use different energies for different reasons. I don't know what I use until I'm using it, because sometimes what I'll see is pictures.
Uh-huh.
Pictures. Sometimes it'll be a smell for me, or sometimes it'll be just like the thought just comes into my mind. I know with that one what I had thought. I knew why I told his brother, who I can't remember his name. That's why I'm not saying his name. I can't remember his name. I remember the man that we found. His name is George. But anyhow, I remember telling his brother the reason why I told him to sit down and write was because I had to pick up the history of this family. And the only way I can do it is that he started thinking of it. So I ended up reading his mind. So in my mind, I actually heard a monologue. I heard him thinking.
Huh.
And when I worked, we were looking for twins that were lost, and young twins. They were 3 years old, and we had known that it probably was a kidnapping. It was a family kidnapping, so the children would be safe, and they were taken down to I think it was Puerto Rico at that point. Yeah, I think it was Puerto Rico. Well, anyhow, in there, I actually saw the children in my mind, and I actually saw the address. Well, not really the address, but kind of like the area, what type of area it would, where they would be. And then they kind of figured out what the areas looked like.
Now, is this something that you were... you know, I've always felt that everyone is born with psychic abilities. It depends.
You can't survive past three.
Well, I would think, you know. But, and then it's just a matter of fine-tuning it, you know. Now, apparently, you've worked on all of your capabilities of, you know, where you're able to tap into the various degrees of psychicism, I guess you would call it.
Psychic ability is a very simple talent. It's extremely simple talent. It's the same talent that propels or allows a person to play the piano or to dance. It's the same energy, same exact energy. You just have to pay attention. When a person walks into a room, they, every second, there are something like 200 billion pieces of information going into your body from all its senses every second. But we only pay attention to maybe 10 or 15 of them. It's like right now, you're listening to this show. Well, stop for a second and listen to the surroundings, your environment, and all of a sudden you may hear a child crying, a dog barking, a television someplace that you really were hearing but you weren't paying attention to. So when a person walks into the room, they either pay attention to the furnishings, or the coldness, or the temperature, or how it smells, how it looks, and that's about it.
Huh. Now, you know, that's exactly...
When a psychic walks into a room, all our senses are giving us information. So we know not only the temperature of the room, but the temperament of the room, what was going on. Then we can pick up the feelings and everything. What is everything telling me? And that's the difference between walking and being psychic and not.
You know, that's almost, you're saying almost exact same thing that I say without even realizing what I was saying when I take people, because every week I take people into this wooded area outside of Burlington and teach them how to feel the energies around them. And I tell them, leave the 9-to-5 thinking outside the woods. step inside and allow yourself to feel, to smell, to taste, to hear, you know, all the things around you. And then never, ever, ever second guess what you're feeling or experiencing. And I tell them that we'll second guess once we get back outside the woods. We'll analyze that, you know, and talk about it. But I tell them that by second guessing or trying to analyze it, they shut down one side of the brain, you know, which needs to stay open in order to sense all this, these things around them, you know.
Exactly.
You know, but because there is two parts of the brain. One part is more the spiritual end of it, lack of a different word.
Parts of the brain.
A what?
There's 84 different segments of the brain.
84? Okay.
84. And in fact...
Well, I'm having a problem, you know, just describing two parts of the brain.
No, but you actually are using all of them. Scientists have now discovered that language... Each different language that a person knows is stored in a different part of the brain.
Huh.
And that's when you're learning a language, when they say you really know you've learned the language when you start thinking in that language. And then how they discovered this was that people who had head traumas, who lost the ability to speak that language, was able to speak other languages they had known.
Really?
Yeah, so they lost the memory for, let's say, their English language, but if they had known German, they would still be able to speak German.
Ha! Huh.
Yeah, so that's what it means when you say you start thinking in the other language, which means you've left the lobe that has English in it, and you're no longer translating between those two lobes, and then you go over to the other language lobe, and you think from that part of your brain.
So that's
how that works.
So now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and the division, as you speak of, the division of left brain, right brain, that is the umbrella of all everything. Because either you do everything in a logical sense, which is left brain, or you do everything in an intuitive sense, which is your right brain. When you mix both of them, you get a logical, intuitive thought. So what's happening is that your mind, what it thinks, and your stomach, your guts, or how you feel, coincide, and they say, yes, do it.
Now, with you as a psychic detective, you were able to then combine the two, the right and left thinking, where you'd be able to use the intuitive but make logic out of it at the same time.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I've never thought about it that way. Yeah, I think you're right. I was just using everything and anything because of the sake of the family.
Yeah.
Actually, I was using my heart, tell you the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
I was using my compassion for these people because people break my heart very easily. I mean, I'm one of those ones that, you know, I get emotional very easily. Very, very
well, easy. Don't you think, though, that in order to be, to be the most productive or to get the most out of information from a person, that you would have to kind of tune into their frequency? And if you were tuning into their frequency, then naturally you would be more empathic of what was going on around them.
That's a good way of putting it, frequency. Because if you think of the psychic, let's say there's a group of people, and if you think of the psychic as a radio, and each one of those people that are in that room are broadcasting a signal, that psychic or the radio, whatever one it tunes into, that's what it brings in. So if you tune to rock music, you get rock music.
Right.
If you tune into talk show, you get talk show. And I guess that's the same way. That's very good, Mary. I like that way you put that. I guess we do tune into people with their frequency because we're listening to what they're sending us.
Yeah.
The information. I don't know. You know, the truth of the matter is, Mary, after 30 years, 30 some odd years as a researcher in parapsychology and various forms of parapsychology and as a psychic and everything, I still don't know how this stuff works. All I know is that it works.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that doesn't help the people that we're trying to empower, because they somehow, you know, maybe even with this type of show, you and myself will even, because I don't know either, really.
Right.
And
really
maybe
important.
Maybe with all of our us combined, you, myself, Rochelle when she does her show, and all of our listeners, maybe we can find that answer. What does make this work? And that's just part of the journey, isn't it? Is trying to figure out how these pieces all come together to make it work. You know, to
right, but also for the fact of the matter is, just because you don't know how it works doesn't mean you can't use it.
No, absolutely not. Because most psychics, they really can't tell you how it works. They just know it does.
Because we're looking to put a name on something that doesn't really have a name, that doesn't have a meaning, doesn't have a rhyme or reason to it. And it doesn't have a rhyme or reason to it because it doesn't make sense. Psychic ability, paranormal, just doesn't make sense. And the only reason why it doesn't make sense is because it has not barely been replicated in controlled laboratory experiments. And the only reason why that hasn't been done is because there is no grant money for people to do that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in order to study it.
But, you know, another thing, though, I have noticed that, you know, it's like with my woods out here, you know, I can take people out there, you know, and they will have some of the most amazing experiences. And, of course, I photograph, I don't know if you've been on my site yet and looked at all the various pictures I've done, but I actually photograph the multi-dimensions.
Yes, I've seen them. I love them.
Yeah, where they actually shift into the various dimensions. And then not only that, I photograph that, but I photograph all these various types of entities and archetypes that are in there. And so anyhow, they had the most amazing experiences. Now, I can have other people, you know, that will go in there without me, okay, and that are just going to go in and do testing, you know, to prove it out scientifically. So, and they don't get anything. And I always kind of smile to myself because they'll come back and they'll say, well, we went there. We didn't get anything. You know, we took all of our equipment. Nothing ever happened. But that's when I realized, you know, that there's another little trick to the trade when it comes to communication with this realm, and interaction, I should say, with this realm. And that is your belief system. And your ability to open yourself up to them and allow the information to come. And when you do, somehow it opens up this portal or this realm, and it allows them to come forth and to show themselves, to give you various experiences, whatever the case may be. But if you go in there with a closed mind, it works just the opposite. It closes that door,
mm-hmm.
You know, nope. And that's how come you'll see all these shows, you know, where these debunkers or these Ghostbusters or whatever, they go in with all this equipment, they'll stay there all night long, and maybe get like a little orb or a little bang, you know, or something like that, and you know, they get all excited about it. But I mean, if they would go in there with a different attitude, they would have such a better experience.
Absolutely, absolutely, because then instead of negating everything, they will be open to it, and then spirit will appear. I mean, listen, if someone doesn't want you to be over their house, you're just not going to go visit.
That's right.
And,
exactly.
I mean, and the spirit world, when I did a research project with near-death experience, with NEDs, I'll never forget one woman. My part of the research was that I was just I would interview people, and I just took their story. And had certain questions I had to ask and things like that. And I'll never forget this one lady that came in. And I think she was, at this point, she probably was about 47, 48 years old. Very nicely dressed, very, very well mannered, very intelligent woman. And I was very impressed with her. And she had died six years earlier. And she was dead for about three and a half minutes. So it was a lengthy time. And they surmised that it probably was even longer than that. Well, anyhow, so she said to me, and I'll never forget this, because all the other ones were talking about the lights and the this and that was happening. They were floating and they were doing this and they were doing that. And she had said to me, she says, you know, she says, I'll tell you what I learned. She says, I did see the white light. I did go past it. I was in the other realm. And one thing that when they brought me back and revived me, I realized, be careful of who you are now, because the personality you have now is the personality you have when you you transfer over.
Amen.
And nothing changes.
No.
It's just the next day in the soul's existence, just as the flesh was the next day in the soul's existence. People have this attitude that when we die, we come into this knowingness.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. In fact, whenever spirit channels through me, in fact, on whose show was it? Someone's show. I think it might have been my show. A woman called, and I very rarely do channel work. I'm not a medium. Even though I can do it, I choose not to do it. And not that I choose not to do it, it's not my focus point.
Uh-huh.
My focus point is to get the person who's alive right now to move on in this life and get a better life.
Yeah.
That's what my focus point is. But every now and then spirit comes in. And so this woman had mentioned about her mother. She said to me, I said, okay, just tell me your mother's name. And when she gave me her mother's name, the mother said to her immediately, I'm sorry. Can I start again with the story? Because
uh-huh.
I just realized I was mixing up two stories.
I think you were talking about me.
No, I was talking about...
Because I called Rochelle, or contacted Rochelle last night to ask about my mother, Dorothy.
Well, that was you.
Uh-huh.
Oh, tell me. I don't remember what I said. So what did I say that sounded good?
Well, you were just a little confused over because she kept showing you her throat and saying that she experienced the same thing or had the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't understand because you thought you'd seen a scar, but you didn't know if it was a scar or if it was a wrinkle or whatever.
I just didn't understand why she was showing me it. What did it mean to you?
Well, it meant absolutely nothing, Vincent. Absolutely nothing, I'm sorry to say.
Well, you don't be sorry.
Except
there it is. Yeah, I always love it.
But anyhow, it didn't make... Well, first of all, what she was saying about our throats is basically our necks are the exact same way. Both of us had that real small chin, so, you know, it's just the shape of the throat. Or the it's just the shape of the neck she was kind of showing, you know, and the way we hold our head was basically the same. Which, actually, what it does is when I'm eating, or she used to eat, you know, if you would, you know, swallow too fast or something like that, you could choke. You know, we don't have that nice long neck that everybody else has, you know. And so basically that's what she was saying, is that we pretty much had the same throat. But she kept pointing towards that throat, you know. And so anyhow, after you guys finished the show last night, I went upstairs and I was eating some chicken, you know, because I had fixed some chicken for dinner and I hadn't had a chance to eat. So I was kind of eating it fast because I was hungry. And there was a bone in the chicken, and it got caught in my throat.
Oh, my God.
And I started to choke, you know, and that's what she was forewarning, was be careful about, you know, I was going to be choking, for me to be careful, you know. She was actually forewarning me about something that was to come, and it concerned the throat, and sure enough, I got up there and got that chicken bone caught in my throat. I managed to get it out, but it took a while because I had to swallow a bunch of, was drinking water and getting bread down my throat and everything, because it actually got a little lodged in there. Yeah. So, very good.
Your mother saved your life.
Yeah.
Your mother saved your life.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if she saved it, because I didn't pay any attention, you know, so I did choke. But,
she did, because as soon as it started happening, the warning came into your mind. And you even tell the story that way.
Yeah.
So that warning made you cautious. Because sometimes when we get something stuck in our throat, we just take it down the next bite.
Yeah.
No. When we're in a hurry and we're hungry, you know, you don't pay attention to it. You don't really feel it. But you became aware of it. Your mother saved your life.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting chills.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting chills because it's freezing here also. By the way, I do weather predictions. For certain stations and for certain newspapers, and I predicted last year, I do them a year to 2 years in advance, and I predicted, I think it was a year and a half ago when I did do this one, that this year would be the worst winter we will have ever seen. And I just heard that Minnesota or something like that was 2 degrees, which is unheard of at this time.
Yeah, well, I'm Wisconsin, and
so you're in Wisconsin.
Yesterday it was close to 60 degrees here, and then, about 5 o'clock in the morning, it was like about 55, and then by the time, it got evening, it was like 30, and today it's like even colder yet. So, I mean, there was almost like a 30-degree temperature change within 24 hours.
Well, this period of time predicted, bless you, I predicted that the East Coast will have severe, severe blizzards, and I counted up 17 of them in my mind.
Okay, folks, so you can just write that down on your calendar, and we'll see
and
by
right
the end
now,
of the year.
Right now, I'm in Palm Springs, and we're supposed to be 71, 74 degrees, 75 degrees. We're 50 degrees.
And that's Palm Springs, California.
Yes.
Now, that's the place that Sonny was from, right?
Yep.
Sonny Bono?
Yep, Sonny Bono was our mayor.
Your mayor.
He was our mayor, and his little statue is in the middle of our town.
Is it really?
Yeah, and it's little, and it's life-size.
Yeah, well, so is Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's really not that.
Well, now we're a major, major, major place.
Are you really?
Yeah, we used
it's
to
been
be
a long time
little
since
village.
I've been there. Yeah, it's been a long time.
And we've
since
had
I've been
the
there.
Biggest growth on the West Coast in the last 10 years.
That's not very far from the Yuma, Arizona area, is it?
No, it's not. It's about 8 hours away by car.
Yeah. Right on the opposite or on the California side, I think that's Highway 80. I'm not sure.
Eight?
Okay. Well, I got the eight part right. But anyhow, that road coming from Yuma, going towards California, on the California side, there's a little pyramid right there. And I can't remember the name of the town, but it... Calexico. Now, when Brad and I were there, that was kind of interesting, because when Brad and I were there, because there's an actual arm of God that comes out of this circle there, and with the finger pointing out is a Michelangelo, replica of the hand of God. Anyhow, the finger, it points out, and then Brad was standing there, my husband, and he points it, and he was able to put his finger to that finger. I took a nice picture. But there used to be a plaque there, and I noticed it's not there anymore, and it kind of upset me, because the plaque used to say that according to satellite mapping, they were actually able to accurately measure it out and found it to be the exact center of Earth. Now, if you would then, taking that into consideration, if you got yourself a big globe, okay, and you ran a pin down from that center, well, of course, what would be on the other side of the globe, that would be the exact center. That would be the pyramids.
Wow.
The Great Pyramids. So there's a portal there leading from the Great Pyramids through the center of Earth to that particular area. So I thought that was quite interesting. I always...
There are portals, as you call them. They're starting to understand string theory. This is now talking about quantum physics and quantum mechanics. Now the discussion is that everything, all matter, is comprised of string theory, which means that everything has a bending point. Everything could move and fluidly as it wants to.
Yeah.
And because of that, we know that everything is connected.
Yeah.
Everything is connected. And now we're starting to understand the fact of the matter is of what the Eastern teachers have been telling us is that everything we do now affects everyone across the earth.
Yeah, it does.
And these are portals, because that's how information or vibrations or thoughts. Everyone has to realize one thing, that just like a radio station that has an antenna is a broadcasting house, and they're sending out all these radio waves of information, and then anyone who has a receptor, who has a radio, you can turn it on, and boom, the music comes in.
Yep.
We understand that's a constantly, that constantly the radio station is broadcasting all this information out. That's exactly how we are. We are radio stations. We are every thought we have is a sound wave or a thought wave
And that's going through all the other dimensions.
It's going, exactly. You know, they had said years ago that they were they're working on an instrument right now. They should be pretty close to it right now, where they'll be able to recapture sound, because sound waves never dissipate.
Oh, no.
And they say they have already parts of Lincoln actually saying the Gettysburg Address.
Well, now that goes right back to, you know, that's science, okay? But the thing is, psychics, okay, have always had that ability to pick up. What all they're trying to do is replicate what the human body, the human energy has always had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to take a physical and make it in, or they're taking the spiritual, or the spiritual element, and replicating it into a physical element.
Which doesn't allow any gray area.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem, they want absolutes. And in our world, there are no absolutes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
gotta be a little smarty here.
Right. Because, you know, everything has an absolute, but we don't have the instruments to be able to measure absolute.
Right. And even if we could, it would only apply to this one dimension.
Well, I don't know.
The three-dimensional.
I don't know about that.
Because we don't know, or I should say that we don't know if it applies to the other dimensions.
Well, how about this?
Because
by the time that we actually get to that thinking, that we could actually create machinery or measurements, things that measure in order to prove this, maybe at that point we'll be able to think in and experience three dimensions, six dimensions at the same time. You know what my theory of reincarnation is? I don't really believe in reincarnation.
What's that?
Old. Actually, as you get to know me, you'll see. In my bio, it does say I'm a well-respected, opinionated person in the metaphysical community, but I'm also very controversial.
Well, I am too, so we'll just get along well.
Because I do a lot of studying and I allow my intuitiveness to guide me in the sense of knowing what's plausible, what's not plausible, what could be, what I also don't understand, so I don't know if it's plausible or not. So whenever I'm presented with something, I go through all those realms. I don't discount anything yet until I can satisfy all those realms of maybe, possibility, it could be, let's look into it. And what I keep coming up with all the people that I've spoken to and all the people I've studied and listened to and heard them, I've come up to a thought that nothing that you do matters anyhow, so just do it and enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, do something different. And with that thought, whatever the scientists are saying, whatever the theorists, whatever theories they are thinking about, whatever the metaphysical teachers are saying, really doesn't matter at all unless it resonates to me.
In other words, follow your own path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But listen to what we're saying, because we may get something right. And if you have something, please share it with us. I always say, I do these shows for one reason. That's why I love taking callers. Because I do my shows, because very selfishly I do my shows, because I'm looking to learn also. I'm looking to grow. And you'd be amazed how the audience, what depths of knowledge they have, just by observing, just by being.
Now, switching the subject just a little. Okay. But we're just kind of... folks, we're just kind of skimming the surface of just some of the subjects that we will get more in depth as time goes through, you know, on. So, don't scream and say, oh, I want to hear more about this or I want to hear more about that, because I promise you that Vincent's going to be on every Thursday night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central. And we will be discussing all this. What we're just doing tonight is just kind of, we're just getting to know all of you. and you're getting to know Vincent, and we're going to be doing some readings in the later, coming up here very shortly now. But right now we're just kind of touching on just a few little subjects, you know, just kind of wet your whistle a little bit here, as the Wisconsinites say.
And let me add a disclaimer to that.
What's that?
This is the first time I'm actually talking to Mary, other than the fact that I'm talking a couple of times on the phone. But this is the first time I'm really having a lengthy conversation with you. And I realize that we cannot promise anyone out there that we'll have any sort of continuity to this show.
Well, I can almost promise that we won't.
So our disclaimer here is that we have no idea where we're going, because two dyslexic personalities together on one show is going to be a journey.
Yeah,
it's
going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There is a great line from a movie all about Eve, and she says to her, "Fasten your safety belt. It's going to be a bumpy road tonight."
One time I was doing an interview with a Preston Dennett out of California, and he wrote this amazing book. It was like Three Easy Steps for to Have an Out-of-Body Experience, something like that. Or Out-of-Body Experiences for the Dummies, or, you know, I can't exactly remember the title yet. All it did was really require three steps. And so I thought, well, you know, if anybody can do it, like he says, any dummy can do it. So I tried it. I was laying on the bed and concentrating the way he told me to. And the next thing I know, this wall, it was almost like, have you ever watched that show Stargate and you see this circular wall of plasma? Well, this circular wall of plasma appear or manifest right next to my bed. Now, my eyes are wide open when this is happening, and I'm not asleep. You know, I'm just laying there concentrating to have this OBE. And I watch this wall or this circular wall of plasma appear. So I put my hand in it, and it starts sucking it in. I allow it to go, and I put my arm, or part of my arm in, and it's sucking it, and I get it to my shoulder, and I feel it, and I knew that the next step would be it was going to suck me right in. So I kind of like shook my head and pulled my arm out of there, and, you know, and then just turned over, you know, and discontinued the experiment, which I felt was unsuccessful. Okay, I knew that something had happened. All right, I knew that the wall appeared, and so there was I experienced a paranormal experience, but that was about it. So I contacted Preston. I told Preston, I says, "Listen, I says, I guess I'm one of those dummies because nothing happened." So then I told him what the experience was, and he says, "Well, Mary," he says, "you know that you had an out of body experience.
Exactly.
That's why you seen that wall." Is because, you know, that, because he says sometimes when you have that wall or that plasma wall is there, you know, in another realm. And if you had stepped through it, it would have taken you through this tunnel to all these amazing different dimensions, you know, and places and time. So, and then I talked to another person to validate it, Bruce, I can't think of his last name, but he's an amazing lecturer in Australia that specializes in remote viewing and out of body experiences. So I told him the story, and he validated what Preston had said. He says, "You did have one." I says, "But I was wide awake." He says, "No, you thought you was." He says, but I said, "I was totally physical." He says, "Yeah, I know." But he says, "That's what happens. When you step out of your body into the other plane, you become physical again. So you don't know the difference, whether what dimension you're in, because you are there. You're physical. You can stub your toe, it's going to hurt. Your thought processes are going to be there. Emotions, everything.
Am I the dream or am I dreaming it?
Exactly. So, and actually there's a point to this, okay, Vincent. But so what I'm getting at is, because I had this out-of-body experience and didn't know it, at that point in time, I finally understood, totally understood, the death process and what happens to people that are killed unexpectedly or die unexpectedly, that don't know that they're dead.
Right.
Because it would maybe like a death blow to the head, the back of the head, you know, or they've been in a car accident, you know, and it's just, and the next thing they know, they're standing there watching what's going on around them, and they can't understand why nobody can hear them, or, you know, or everybody's avoiding them. Because they are physical. And you hear a lot of people that will talk about ghosts, you know, that will say, well, you know, they'll actually say, well, they don't know that they're dead, so we're going to send them to the light. Well, you know, I mean, I have heard that time and time again, and people have said it time and time again, but, I mean, I don't think that most people, even though they say it or hear it, really, truly understand that that's exactly why they don't know that they're dead, is because once they go into that physical, or into that other world, they solidify. They are exactly what you had said earlier. They do carry on exactly with the same emotions, the same fears, the same anxieties. They still have their love. They still are thinking and trying to communicate with us and everyone else. And it's amazing.
I know. You know, it's the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing is the fact that there are these dimensions. And in fact, scientists today, and this was just discovered by the British scientists, and I don't know their names, but it's just in the last 6 months, and the journals will be printing it very, very soon. They now realize that there may be six dimensions, because they're measurable.
That are measurable.
They're measurable. They're now, the instruments that we have in the stratosphere, right?
Oh, yeah.
Telescope and everything else, they're now bringing back solid proof that there are dimensions.
Yeah, I think that was some research or scientist from Stanford University or something like that.
Well, it came out first in the British Journal.
Was it?
Yeah, and that's where it first came from.
Well, I know that I received something in the email today about proof of parallel universes. That may have been something totally different, though.
That's part of it. But instead of them calling it parallel universes, they're calling it dimensions, because they don't understand parallel universe. But it's exactly what they're talking about. And men of science don't like to use elaborate names.
Dr. Michio Kaku or something like that?
I don't know.
M-I-C-H-I-O, and then K-A-K-U.
Is that what it is? I have the type of mind that for every couple of weeks it remembers everyone's phone number, and then every couple of weeks it forgets it. And the same thing I do with names. I remember them sometimes, and most of the times I don't.
Yeah, he's claiming that there are parallel universes.
My thought of reincarnation is that I believe that... well, let me say this. Let me just say the way it is. I believe that when we go to sleep at night, or when you take a snooze, or whenever you go into that subconsciousness, when you awaken, you can awaken any place you want to awaken and be anyone you want to be when you awaken. And when you do, it will feel as if you were there all that time. So what I'm saying is that you can awaken in 1642 on the French Riviera, and whose name is Renata, and when you awaken, you will just begin that existence. And when you go to sleep, you can choose to go someplace else, even back to this one, and become Mary.
Yeah.
And that's what parallel universe is all about.
Isn't that great?
We are living all of them, not at the same time. We can go into any one of them and awaken.
Well, it's like with those pictures I take. If you study those pictures, in the different realms that they're in, they're actually doing different things. They're different head positions, body positions. Some are even wearing different colored clothes.
When I first looked at your index page, uh-huh. And I scrolled down, I saw all those pictures and everything, and I went to another page, and I actually thought they were Carolean photography pictures when I first looked at them.
They look like it, don't they?
Yes, and then I looked at it again, and I said, okay, they're spirit pictures, but then I realized what they really were. They weren't extended, they weren't extra little spirits, or they weren't spirits. Each picture, and if you see the surroundings around them, that's that person, that soul that's right in that picture that you can see, those are all their lives.
Yeah.
all their experiences that they're still assimilating in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you wake up and you go, what the hell am I? Where am I? Where am I? You don't know. Because what's happened is that all the resources that you have not settled into that body to awaken in that period of time.
Yeah.
I believe that may be true, that we can awaken. That's the time machine. That's the elusive time machine that everyone's trying to build that wish we had, like the Fountain of Youth.
Well, even people that go into a daydream, they're actually in that world that they're daydreaming about, and their body itself has just actually gone on automatic pilot, you know, taking care of that body until they get back. That's how come a lot of times people will be driving down the road, and they'll take a wrong turn without realizing it. Maybe 20 minutes down that road, they all of a sudden, they kind of like, because they've been daydreaming, and they kind of like snap out of it and look around and say, wow, how did I get here, you know? And they don't remember driving that, but they are there, and they're there safely. But
you know
what it is the body, they've actually gone, you know, consciously, they've gone to this other realm they're experiencing or working out a problem, whatever they're doing there, and their body, there's just enough consciousness left in that body to the body goes into an automatic pilot, and that little bit of consciousness that is left is taking care of it for them.
And that's called astral projection.
Yeah.
You can astral project anytime. You don't have to be sleeping to astral project.
Oh, yeah. You know, just all it is taking a trip without leaving the farm, right?
Sometimes what happens, you're in a situation, and you say, it's so surreal, I thought I was looking at it, and you are, because you astral projected. And astral projection really has nothing to do with subdivision of energy or anything like that. Remember, according to what scientists say today, and those who have mapped the brain, is that we are really actually only using about 7.75% of our brain matter.
Yeah.
That means that the others have to be in charge of something, and that's what's in charge of the super world, or the spirit world, whatever name you want to give it to it, the rest of the universe.
Yeah, and then, like, as far as visual, we only see 5% of everything that's around us. And then that 5% that's taken in through the eye, through the optic nerve, is taken into the brain and then filtered again based on our belief system. You know, it's kind of like spam mail. The computers, or the brain's like a computer. It goes through the mail and throws away the spam and allows the good mail to get through. And that good mail is based on your belief system. So if you don't believe in something, chances are you will never, ever see it. Like a lot of people don't believe in UFOs, so thus they never see a UFO. Some people, they don't believe in spirits, so they never see spirit. That don't mean that stuff isn't around them all the time. It's just that, you know, it's tossed out. Or one, it may not have been taken in. Or two, it was tossed out as spam mail. So a lot of things going on.
It may not exist.
Or three, it may not exist.
And
but usually, if you think about it, it does exist.
No, but what I mean to say about that is that we, let's see, how could I say it? A scientist. Oh no, I'm trying to figure out how I would say this. They're trying to discover the cure for a disease,
mm-hmm.
and along going for the cure for the disease, they find other cures, other diseases that this would take care of.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yet they thought that they were going to cure disease A, but it really was for disease B.
Yeah.
Right? So right now we think we know what we think we know, but it all can change by one aspect, and that aspect could be what's going to happen to us on an evolution. I wouldn't say an evolution. No, I would call it a rejuvenation.
Could you hold on 1 minute, please?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'd say that what's happening is that over the next 20 years, our ability to utilize our senses are going to be quantum leap.
Mm-hmm.
And what we consider to be psychic and everything on a scale of 1 to 10, what we can do right now is probably around 1 or 2, probably around 2. And the quantum leap of what humans are going to be able to do to utilize their brain, their mind, whatever, is is going to go up to about 8, and that's just in a 20-year cycle, and that's because of computers.
Yeah.
And that's why children are more intelligent and much smarter, because we have more information we're giving them.
Well, I think, too, that our DNA and the vibrations and the spin of the Earth, there's so many different things that's going on right now that we're going through some sort of an ascension process. We're awakening. We're, you know, our senses are more, you know, it's kind of like a petal, you know, the rose petal, you know, they're opening up. And as it opens up, we're going to be experiencing and seeing more and more things.
Each generation, more of it. It's the evolution of man.
Yeah, yeah.
The growth of man. And
but,
we are going to grow this time around, excuse me, instead of growing in our technology, because that's what the last 2,000 years was all about, growing in technology. Instead of growing in technology, we are going to grow more into what we call holistic living.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason why I say that, because for the last 2,000, actually last 1,000 years, according to numerology, the 1920s, 1930s, 40s, 15 or so up, they were the number one starts it. And the number one means industrial growth. It means new beginnings, industrial growth. Now we're in the cycle of the 2000. We're in the cycle of two. Two is a female number. No longer like the number one, which is the gatherers, which is the hunter, the male energy, and the progressing energy, and it wants to go out there and conquer and build and create and everything. The two, which is female, is a time where you relax and you enjoy what you have. Because there's reproduction part of it, there's the nurturing part of it, the love, the care, and that's where we are right now. And because of this, we will grow more with our feelings. Because also female means to be in touch.
Yeah.
To be in touch with what is
around. Tuning in. Once we tune in, then we can pull it all together. Now, now what we're going to be doing now, this is the second segment of the show. And so what we're going to be doing is, like I said, the next show should be totally different. So, you know, it kind of depends on how Spirit leads us on this. But right now, with this show, we're going to open lines for people to call in or instant message. Now, how Vincent does this is all he's requesting of you is for you to give three numbers.
Any three numbers between 1 and 9.
Between 1 and 9, and that's it.
And then
he's going to give a reading based off that. Now, if you go to burlingtonnews.net/Barra, B-A-R-R-A, all the directions are right there of how to contact us. But if you're not there, then remember, 262-767-2864. Again, 262-767-2864. Or the best way, the most very, very best way, is to use your Yahoo Instant Messenger and just type it in to Burlington News. Get us on your Yahoo Messenger contact list as Burlington News, and send us an IM with these numbers. But if you're calling in, what we do is we take your telephone number and then we call you back. So it's your time and our dime, okay? So anyhow, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Vincent and myself give you a brief example how this is going to work. Thus, I'm going to give him three of my numbers and Vincent is going to do what he does, okay? And then after that, I have some people here that has sent some numbers in, so we'll take off from there and then just send these numbers in or call in, and we'll take care of you. So, Vincent, my numbers are 379.
Well, first of all, say your first name.
Oh, so you want a first name as well?
Yes. Well, let me take care of this. Okay, you relax. Take a nice deep breath.
Okay, but I mean, as far, because this is going to be used as an example.
Don't worry. I want you to relax.
But before you go in, now you want the listeners to also be sending it.
Just let me do your reading.
Okay. All right.
Get it. Okay. I want you to relax. All right. And let me take control for just a few seconds. Say your first name.
Mary.
Now, say any three numbers between 1 and 9.
379.
Okay. 379. One of the things that I do see what's happening with you is that in your mind and in your thoughts and in your planning stage, you're, and I'll look at business with you, you're about to explode, as they say, or you're about to really fulfill that dream. And I believe that your dream really is to get the message out, let's say. Okay? And it's going to come very quickly. It's going to become very, very fast. And that's going to scare you. Because, Mary, sometimes you really bite off a little more than you can chew, in the sense that you can't do it all by yourself. You just can't do it. And you're going to have to start learning how to allow other people to do jobs for you without interference. And if you allow that to happen this year for you over the course of the next 2 months, someone's going to do a story about you in some national or maybe even an international. It's a national magazine that's sold over abroad. And it's just going to be something that someone's just going to do a story about you. They're going to be totally fascinated with what you're doing, what you're producing, and with the message that you're trying to get out there. And it's just going to go to the right people. There is going to be an offer coming your way, and this is probably around just about June, between May and June. There's an offer that's going to come your way, and it is for television, and I know already that you have something going on. That's not what I'm talking about. This is an offer that's coming that someone's going to say, okay, this is a legitimate offer. We would like to build a program based on your experiences or people that you know experiences. Could you gather all these people and everything? And that's going to be it. You're going to host some type of show that is part of the bizarre, is part of the strange. But it is really reality. And I think what the show really wants you to do, they want you to uncover what people don't see. And the paranormal part of it. But I fear that it may not happen. Because the last number you give me is number 9. And in this instance, this 9 really means a delay. I would love to have used it as this is your new baby and you're going to take care of it. But sometimes what happens is that you just try to do everything yourself and then you're overwhelmed by it. And then you get frightened about it. And then you get a little sloppy doing the work, or you don't tend to it as much as you can. You try to pull away a little bit. So this time around, you don't have to take care of everything. There are a couple of helpers, two people are coming your way that's going to work for you and with you. And it's very important that you learn the word with you. And if you allow that to happen, these predictions will come to pass.
Very good. And trust me, folks, he hit it right on, because I do have a tendency of wanting to do it all myself. You know, so.
Tell you why you do that?
Why?
Okay, there's a reason for it. Because it appears to people around you that you have plotted out and figured out everything that you're going to do for the next 6 months or on a project. You figured out how to do it, where it's going to go, and everything is going to, how it's going to work. So, if you have someone working for you, then they say, well, how are we going to do this? Then you're going to have to come up with how to do it, and you're making it up as you go along.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's wonderful, by the way. That's part genius, to make it up as you go along. That really is. Someone that can think as fast as you can think on your 2 feet. Situation comes up, boom, your mind just assembles and disassembles all that information out there and then reassembles it and assesses it and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're even the type of person, Mary, that if someone's doing something, let's say they're putting down, I love this one, putting down like a tile floor and they just started, they have no idea what they're doing. You could just look at it and just figure out this is not the right way. Let's see, if we turn this over here, we put this one over here. Yeah, why don't you put that over there? There it goes. You would just figure out how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because you're making it up as you go along, how could you work with somebody?
Well, that's my problem.
Okay, but there is a way. There is a way. You hire people, and you tell them that. You say, by the way, I have no idea what we're doing, but if you want to come along for the ride, and I'm going to make it, one day we're going to do it this way, the next day we're going to do it this way, maybe we'll go back to your, I don't know, but if you can go along with the ride, we can build something great. And you'll pull in those type of people because you'll be honest with your needs instead of covering it up.
Very good, very good. Excellent, as a matter of fact. Excellent.
This is what I do. Once again, I try to uncover that part of your personality that's holding you back from your dreams.
And which is my nine.
Serious, Mary, you're about to hit the big times. And what I mean by big times, I don't talk about fame. I talk about the passion that you have for the journey that you want people to take.
And let's just hope it comes with this show here, the journey home, because
an expansion of that thought in another different media experience. I don't think you have to leave anything. I mean, you know.
No.
That's what I do.
So let's go on to another one. That was very good, though. We'll just see. This is
resonate with you, and be honest. Did it resonate with you?
You were right on. Especially, you were. I can't say much better than what you did. I mean, you were just everything. I mean, you just hit perfectly. If I had to rate it a 1 to 10, I'd made it an 11.
Okay, and the reason why I say that, Mary, I want you to listen to this show in archive.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to that reading, listen to what built up to it. And then listen to after in this conversation now. You're going to see how much you have grown.
Yeah, thank you.
Just a short few seconds.
Really? Well, you know, one thing I do is take good advice.
Yeah, you just put that information, you assessed it, and you said, I'm not going to allow that to happen to me this time around.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you this one, and this is not a prediction, this is just our little bet.
Okay.
I bet someone's going to be calling you soon and just kind of say, I want to work for you. Yeah, someone, some female. Oh, by the way, I should say to everybody, when I speak about gender, I don't really see gender. I see the gender of the soul, the personality.
Yeah, that's very good to bring up, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of psychics will bring this or say, you know, they'll call a gender he or she or something like that, and then the people will write back and they say, well, they were really wrong because they said he or she. But, you know, like I write back to them and say, you have to understand, psychics are not, they're not seeing you as a physical. They're doing this as a soul thing, and we are female and male, and sometimes the female will override the male, or the male will override the female. You know, or it depends on what part of that gender that they're picking in, or tuning into. So, very good point.
Yeah, it's like the soul. The soul never changes. It's a masculine soul, it'll always be a masculine soul. If it's a female soul, it'll always be a female soul. But every now and then, the masculine soul will decide to go into a female body, putting on a different pair of clothing. And especially when I read for someone, I'll say, okay, say your son's name. And I say, well, it's a daughter by the name of Amy. And I said, no, this is a female child, yes, but the soul, the personality, is really masculine. And I said, let me explain what that is. And almost all the time they say, I got it already. You're right. I couldn't figure out why my daughter was so different than most other children. She has a masculine soul. I've got to treat her like I would treat a young man.
Yeah.
And it's true, because a girl, a female that has a masculine soul, these are the ones who are very motivated in life to do. You have a masculine soul, by the way.
I've always felt that. And everybody says, oh, no, you don't. I say, yeah, I do.
It's like, hey, I'm not going to pussyfoot around anything, and I'm not going to be second in anything. I'm going to do the way I want to do, because this is the way I want to do it. That's a masculine thought.
Yeah.
That's a masculine thought. And we're not saying whether one is better than the other. By the way, I should also say this. There is no judgment. And if you're judging people or I love when someone says, and I've said it too, and I'm changing from that, in the sense that of this idea of forgiveness. When you break up with someone, in order to move on to another, a better relationship, and I'm saying this to you, Mary, in order to move on to a better relationship, everyone says, well, you must forgive the other one. You have to, no, because by forgiving them, then you're judge and jury.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no right to judge anybody. So when you heal from a relationship, it's when you understand what the relationship was all about. And that's it.
And I always tell people that a bad relationship is nothing other than one of life's learning lessons. if you take it, so if somebody's experiencing something bad, you know, relish it, study it, try, get the most out of it before you lose it totally, you know.
Then throw the bum out. Absolutely. I mean, we have to, you know, some people just deal in the spiritual world. I stopped going to all the conventions. I don't go to all of them now. I go to just a few. And these are like the Whole Life Expos and thing, by the way, which is a wonderful, wonderful place of gatherings of metaphysical and psychic people. And these are really good places. But I stopped going to them because when you walk in there, it's like you're walking into a whole new realm of thinking where everyone is floating. Hi, I'm Angel Michael.
Yeah, like Sedona. Ever been to Sedona?
And when you turn around to them and say, well, I got a pain in my shoulder. Well, that's because the gods are... I know the gods are saying that I should have this, or because of my anger I should have it, but right now I have a pain. Because someone to massage it, they forget that we're also humans.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to deal with the human condition, the human body, and the human thinking. But also the fact that within this human personality, you have the right to live the life that you want to live. And you have the right to be the kind of person that you want to be. And if you are changing, never change because of the aspect, I don't like who I am. Change from the aspect, this is not working for me any longer, let me change my attitude.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing my husband taught me, bless his heart, is that it's okay to, you know, to be angry. If somebody's done you wrong, it's okay for you to voice your opinion about it, you know. Because this was one of my big things is, you know, I absorbed it all, you know, because, you know, at one point in time I felt that was what, you know, we were supposed to do is just, you know, walk around peace, love, tranquility, da-da-da-da-da. And he says, no. Somebody turns around and says something mean to you, you say, hey, I don't like that. Don't do it no more. Because the thing is, if you absorb everything...
That's not anger.
Yeah, because the thing is, if you absorb it, you know, and you hold that in yourself, then, and you don't release it, then that's going to come back on you, and you're going to become ill. So you have to look at it like this. Who do you want to... I mean, if that person has said something, give it back to them. You know, just say, hey, I don't want that energy. Here, you take it back. You know, you did wrong. Here it is. But don't take it in for yourself. You know, don't be the martyr here. There, you know, you don't need to be. You know,
just and so many of us.
Be honest to. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself and take care of yourself, number one.
And you have to remember that the way anybody sees another person. Sometimes I hear people say, well, they're on a different level.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course they're on a different level, but, you know, who's to say what level came first? Or who's to say what level is needed for the other level?
Yeah. Well, you know,
The bum in the street.
Yeah.
The bum in the street, the homeless person in the street probably can teach the best lesson than all the preachers put together.
Yeah. Well, you heard the story about that bum in the street then, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
There was an angel came to this lady, and the lady says, well, if you guys were, if you were really so good, and you really take such good care of everyone, please explain to me how come I have to pass this, I pass a bum in the street every day, a homeless person, a wino, that, you know, why have you done this to this person? And they says, well, we didn't, this person chose to come here as an example for you to see how good your life really is and what it could be like, you know, given the circumstances. So, you know, there's life lessons, you know. Even the bum in the street has a lesson to, you know, that may be an angel. We don't know. An angel has come to show us, you know, our alternatives in life.
So. Exactly. And that's one of the keys also. That's one of the keys to having a better life, is really knowing where you are, in the sense of have gratitude for what you have, what you own, and where you are.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us look up the street, we look up the road at what the people up on the top have. And that's great for motivation, that's great for designing your way of life the way you want to see. I always say that if you want to, you know, if you really want to make money in this life, you want to become a millionaire, well, then hang out with millionaires.
Yeah.
Figure out, study them.
Yeah.
Figure out what they do, how they do it, and replicate it, and you'll get it also.
Yep.
You want to become a very spiritual person. Well, hang out with the spiritual people, the spiritual thinkers, and replicate it and think about it.
Yeah, but be also careful. Be careful what you ask for, too, because you might get it.
Well, yeah, hopefully that you're asking for things that are worthy.
Yeah, because I think people need to really start searching. I think before anybody even decides what they want out of life, first of all, they need to find out who they are. You know,
because you have to realize
because
also.
A lot of times, you know, we're so programmed of what we think that we want that we go for that instead of finding out what we really do want. You know. Because I've been in both places, you know, and thank God I have, because I've learned some valuable lessons in that, you know. Because sometimes being at the top is not the place that some people are very comfortable with, you know, because there's a lot of things that one has to go through in order to get to that top, too. And I always tell people the best thing the best way to do it is to look in the mirror and look at that face looking back at you. Do you like it? Do you feel good about it? You know. So, anyhow. Esoterica writes in. She has her numbers for you. She's changed it 3 times so far. No, she's changed it. Wait.
And I should also say to everybody, do not change your numbers, because numbers have hundreds of meanings to each one of them.
Okay, so...
The numbers are not really important to me. They're just a guide.
Okay, so do you want me to go with her first number, her second number, third number, or her last number?
I don't care. Pick out anyone.
Oh, this is one she wants. 570.
What's her name?
Esoterica.
570? Well, Esoterica, the first thing Esoterica, her name is?
Well, that's her, you know, that's her.
Name she's this is not going to work for me then. I don't have a person's name, because I have an identity with their name. But I'll tell her right now what I want to say to her.
Okay.
I'll tell you her problem. And her problem is the fact that she can't make up her mind. And she, not only that, but she can't even take directions. From 1 to 9, she gives me 0. But also, the other side is that we could see that personality as, instead of just being arrogant of that they're not going to listen to it, how about being strong?
Yeah.
And I want to say to this person that just wrote in, you're working your life wrong. You're trying to become tough. Well, stop trying to be tough and stop trying to be what you see on television. Use your charm, use your loveliness, use your sensitivity. And that's what's happening with her right now. She's coming more into that female feeling and that female side, or that side of wanting to be more loving and more caring. You have to give up this rough exterior that you have. You know, strength can make you win a race, but sometimes strength can also make you lose the race.
Well,
what race do you really want to win? Do you want to be the toughest person around, or do you want to feel loved by someone? You have to make that choice.
Well, when I look at these numbers, okay, I'm seeing a repetition of two of the numbers. That's the 579, and that's what I feel is the 579.
579 means a person who's afraid of. The five means to make changes, but it means to allow the universe to change you. The 7 means to contemplate. It's the number of priests and philosophers. So when you put 5 and 7 together, you kind of get now once again, I'm looking at the numbers, but I'm also tuning into her mind. Together, it means one to move on with grace. But when she puts the 9 there, it means that no one owes you a life, and that's the problem. She wants everything handed to her. It's a silver platter look. That's the symbol I'm getting. And I have to just say, this person, whoever this person is, really needs to take charge of their life, not in the sense of controlling it, but in the sense of working at it and working in it, and not expecting everybody to be the person for her to blame. And I think that's the game that she's playing. And if she just stops that, she'll have a better life. And by the way, whenever I look into someone, it's because, and this is what I see, it's what they're working on. It's their new emerging personality. Like what I said with you, Mary. Once you allow yourself to hire people who know who you are, you have no idea what you're doing, but you have a dream. You have a point to get to. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'll get there. And once you become that person, which you really are, you'd be surprised how it no longer matters that you are that way. And that's what this caller also. Stop feeling insecure about you.
Okay. She says that she has a problem with authority.
That's why she's so tough.
Yeah.
It's actually a father-daughter problem that she has. And that's the authority that she hates. She hates anyone telling her what to do because she has no respect for them, for her father. And because of that, he had no right to tell her what to do. He actually feels like an absent father most of the time.
Okay. She says, you set a rule that she doesn't want to follow.
Okay, I'm not going to go back.
So basically, she's kind of verifying in a way what
saying. You know what? Let's say this also. Let's say this also while I'm doing the show with you. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to hear comments.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because then we're going to play a game, and I don't want to play a game.
Oh, okay.
Not here. I don't want to waste my time to see if Vincent is right or wrong.
No.
Whether I'm right or wrong is not really important here. What's important that you learn something,
yeah.
that you pick up something that you can use for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be wrong about her father. He may be the most, and I don't think he is, the most wonderful person there is, but I'll tell you that she has hostility towards him, there's no doubt. And that's what's ruining her entire life. She's got to let it go. Stop being tough. She reminds me of a rape victim, although I don't think she was. She reminds me of a rape victim, because once you're raped, and you could be raped, and I'm not just talking about sexual rape, there's many, many ways of being raped. Someone taking advantage of you, feel like you've been raped.
Uh-huh.
Raked over the coal, you use that one. It's the same metaphor. But anyhow, and what happens is that we then hide the beauty part of us, because that's the part that we think attracted that personality. And when you start hiding the beauty part of you, you end up being tough.
Yeah.
And when you're tough, you're not tender any longer. And when you're not tender, you can't even enjoy your children.
Okay, so now we have a few more. All right. Okay, Vincent?
Do we have any callers?
Well, first of all, we're taking the IMs if it's all right for
you.
Okay. Okay.
I'd like to do callers.
Okay, well, we'll do those too, but... Well, let's see. We have... hold on.
I'll also say, tell you the truth. This is very difficult for me to do.
Okay.
It's not my forte, but let's go on with it. Maybe it'll work. Maybe this is what I have to learn.
Yeah, well, you know, I hope so, because we do a lot of these... a lot of people... well, see, one of the problems is with internet radio is a lot of people are set up where when they got their computer on, their phones aren't on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only way that they can get through to you is if they turn the show off. And they don't want to turn the show off, so they use the conveniency of being able to contact us through the instant messenger. You know, so that's one of the, you know, we've just learned how to deal with this, you know, trying to make it where everyone has access to us instead of just the callers, okay? So anyhow, I guess I should ask them their first name. What is your first name, please? This is Azel, 34. If you're when you're listening, I know you're about 10 seconds behind us. So, okay, we got her name now. Her name is Mary, and her numbers are 854.
You know, as soon as you said Mary, the first thing I thought about was finances, money, and work. 854. And this one I would like to know. Ask Mary if she gave up.
Well, she can hear you.
Oh, she can hear me.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, did you give up a job because of family or something like that? Or because you thought somebody else was more important, that you gave up a career or a job? Ask her about that.
Okay, well, she can hear you. She's about 10 seconds probably behind, but...
Love technology.
Yeah, but I can...
I'm amazed that people around the world can hear the show.
Oh, I love internet radio.
I mean,
there's... nothing can beat internet radio compared to terrestrial. I mean, you know, because terrestrial, I mean, it goes as far as that one signal will take it. But internet takes you all around the world. And Mary, we're answering, waiting for your answer here.
My first World's Fair. My parents brought me to my first World's Fair. And I believe I probably was about 12 years old, 13 years old. I walked out of that day with the thought of wonderment. I said, my God, technology was incredible. Because when they talked about the future, but not only that, but what we had, like the car. And I thought, what an incredible invention the car is. I forgot how incredible it is. And it kind of just brought me back to realize, and this is what we were saying earlier, and this is for Mary, and it kind of brought me back to the point of realizing, you know, my life is not that bad. It's okay. It's not great in the sense of where I want it to be, but you know what? It ain't bad at all.
Mary's answer to your question was yes.
Yes what?
Well, you'd ask the, you had asked that question, and she answered yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's time for her to go back to the career. Go back to school, Mary. You have a time to go back to school, and even though you think you're a little bit too old to sit in a classroom or something like that, believe me, because you're going back, because it's something that you want to do, you'll absorb the information so easily, you'll be probably valedictorian. And I don't think it's that type of schooling, but that's what you would be. You would be great at it. Go back to go take a class and get a certificate. And I'll tell you this, it feels to me like, I don't want to say you're going into healing work, but it's something like that, where you're going to just help people, and you are going to love it.
And that is the 8 or the 5 or the 4, is that a combination of all 3?
I don't know how this works. I had that in my mind as soon as you said Mary.
Oh, okay, that was just something you had picked up from the Mary.
If you want me to go through the numbers, what were her?
Well, her numbers was 8, 5, and 4.
8, 5, and 4. 8 means success, means money. 5 means training. 4 means an opportunity from it.
Okay.
I guess that's what I said. Something like that. But that's what I want to say, Mary. You have an opportunity to relive your dreams. Do it now. I'd love to know how old she is.
Okay. Well, she's writing something, but I'll just write it back. How old are you, Mary? 21.
Oh, I can't believe it. I thought I was talking to someone that was in their 40s.
Old soul.
No, thinker.
I always call it that, the
old
soul.
No, an old thinker. No, let's get to the human part. An old thinker.
An old thinker.
Yeah, for 21 years old, Mary, you're a little bit too responsible. But listen, you're 21 years old. Go back to school. Believe me. It'd be the best thing that you have done for yourself. Don't look for a partner right now. Don't think about marriage. None of that stuff. You get Mary on track first.
Oh.
And this way, the rest of your life, you'll always feel that you succeeded in your dream because you completed that education. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. All righty. Now let's see. I got all these up here. Oh, let's see. Who was
and
that?
You're right. She probably is an old soul.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you hear that, Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably is.
Well, yeah, that's what I call them, you know. Because I'm an old soul, so, you know, basically an old soul usually recognizes another old soul, you know. And I don't know how a person really terms old soul. Maybe it is, like you said, it's just an old thinker, you know, but, you know.
Here's another thing that I've come into realization with. Stop blaming your past lives. Take charge of this life. A lot of people turn around and say, well, I can't do anything because in the last lifetime I was this way. Yeah, so yesterday I was that way also, but today I'm this way.
Well, I know that you don't want comments, but Esoterica did write in and told me to tell you that it was a very good reading of her, and she wanted to say thank you.
Thank you for that also. It's not that I don't want comments. I don't want to go into banter back and forth, because then they lose that one thought. I just want to do one thought.
Uh-huh.
And like what I did with you, that one thought was the fact of you needing to have the help you need. Changed everything for you. That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, now this is Karen.
By the way, did you just kick off your shoes?
I lit up a cigarette. That's probably what.
Oh, is that what you did? Because all of a sudden there was a whole break in your energy.
Was there? Yeah, it's just that.
We may know each other.
Yeah, I lit up a cigarette, and then of course I also just turned to the computer at the same time to read what the screen was saying. So yeah, there was a breakup.
I have never ever done a radio show like this before in my life.
Well, it's kind of fun. It's interesting.
It is.
It's
I love
challenge.
It. It's so easy. You know, I have my feet up. I'm in my office. I have my feet up.
Well, that's how you should be.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's how you should be.
And I'm freezing.
Well, next time we're just going to have to get you a blanket or something, you know,
absolutely,
to wrap up in.
Absolutely. And actually, that's the next caller. Can we go to a live call?
Well, do you want to just finish this one up real quick?
Okay.
Her name is Karen, and her numbers are 317.
First of all, dental, something with dental with her. And I don't think it's her teeth or anything like that, but I have a feeling it's the way she talks. Give me her numbers again.
317.
I have no idea. I have no idea. The only thing that comes into mind, say her name again.
Karen.
Karen. When I come into
and
mind...
She's from Yellville, Arkansas.
Oh, I know who that is. No wonder why. This is a wonderful person, by the way. She is the woman. This is Karen from Yellville. And she is, her and her husband, Steve, they run a sign shop. In fact, right here in my office, I'm looking at it right now, she sent me a gift, which was so wonderful of her. And she sent a little sign that looks so wonderful. By the way, Karen, the size of it is perfect for that wall. And it's my name, Vincent, done in beautiful lettering and everything. Very professionally done. And that's what I do. She is the one who has been blogging the fact that I'm here tonight.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Karen.
She has wonderful lists. She has beautiful angel lists and spiritual lists and people who help each other. So that's great. What was her numbers again? 317?
Uh-huh.
You know, okay, I have to give you my original thought, Karen. I found you as being frigid right now, as a cold, frigid personality. So, Karen, maybe check yourself. Maybe these holidays are scaring you a little bit. Maybe you're a little frightened of them. Something about that is making you withdraw, going into yourself. And I have a feeling it's from this October. It feels like something in a pattern of your memory, something traumatic, something, there's some type of trauma that happened to you in October, 18, 19, 20 years ago, just around there, and it seems to be coming to play again. And it's something really frightening. And it has to do with family, it has to do with an occasion, so let me know about that one. Well, here's the information. The information, don't get caught up in family matters, because you can't save anybody and you can't change anyone's mind. Just be pleasant and be a guest.
All right. Now, I'm going to please you by having you do a telephone. All right.
Absolutely.
If that makes you happy.
That does make me very happy.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
Tonight.
Alrighty, and now we had some person come in, or a telecommunication person. You know, a lot of times they mess up my phone lines because of the way they use their computers. So hopefully we can just call and have a nice, easy connection back and forth. If not, if I'm not back on the next 20 seconds, call me, or I'll call you back, okay? Karen wanted me to let you know that her father died in 1996. And maybe that's the reason you're feeling that that frigidness, that coldness. That you, this Karen from Yellville, Arkansas.
Yeah, this is the one I think, and because it's that far away, and did she say it was also the October one?
Well, she just said that he died in 1996. Tell Vincent that my father died in 1996.
Okay, it's hitting her right now. And that's the frigidness, and it's not that she's frigid, it's the fact that she's closing down her emotions.
Yeah, well, you know, and then, of course, it'd be justifiable because of the fact that we're hitting these holidays.
Yeah, and this is the year where she erases that, where she puts that into proper form within the mind. And when you put it into proper form in the mind, you go through, and sometimes it takes 12 years to go, sometimes 20 years, whenever someone passes on, you go through the five steps of grief, and it's undeniable. You have to go through them. And what they are, as soon as you hear the bad news, the first thing you have, of course, is denial. So you deny it. It's like, it didn't happen. And this has to do with grief. And the grief is just not losing somebody. It's losing a job, losing a bet, just not, you know, something didn't work the way you wanted it to work. So we go into grief. So the first thing, we deny it. Oh, it didn't work because it is we just deny it. Then the second one, we become very angry. And when we cut to that anger, we start closing down our receptors for feelings. And when you close down your receptors for feelings, you're numb. You become numb. And then, of course, depression comes with that. And you just feel out of sorts. And the reason for the depression, because you're not in control of the situation. You're not even in control of your own emotions. And then you get to bargaining. And that's the best one. Well, if you change this, then I'll be this way. Or if this doesn't, you do that bargain. Then all of a sudden you come to that acceptance. That real, true acceptance. Because nothing worked. The denial didn't work. The anger didn't work. The bargaining didn't work. The depression didn't work. So, Karen, congratulations. You're coming into the light. You're about to let go of hurt emotions. And I'll even say that you're going to become, how can I put this nicely, one hot babe. That's the only way I can say it.
She's charging back up.
Yes, exactly. Sure, just take all the work I do and put it into three words.
Well,
yeah,
what can I say? I'm just a nice, easy, straightforward type of a person. I try to make everything as simple as possible for me to understand.
And I love stories, In fact, all my teachings, all my workshops and everything and my lectures, I tell stories. That's all I do. I just tell a string of stories.
Yeah, she said that she had lost her job, her dad, and she was in a car accident all in the same year. So that was pretty traumatic,
She's about to understand it. And when, once again, we understand it, then we no longer have it in the hurt receptives of our brain. We put them into the acceptance sector of our brains, and that's much easier to go with and deal with. And then you get back to thinking about the good times.
Yeah.
Without having hurt.
Yeah. Well, it's I'm listening to you talk about it, and I find myself relating to that even in major job decisions, life decisions that I do, because I can always tell when something's going to happen. Where I'm sometimes like I don't understand a lot of times what is happening to me or what's about to happen to me, but my body will react. Beforehand, like if something big is, if I'm going to be making some sort of a big decision, I can pretty much, concerning some sort of a transition, I can tell because all of a sudden my body starts to rebel and I'll get angry, and then I get sullen, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, I'll go off by myself and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that, and not even knowing what I'm thinking about, but within the next few days, all of a sudden, it's like I've made some big change, and so basically what you're saying about what to her, it can also apply to life itself, as far as dealing with just ordinary business and life decisions.
I say that when you're listening to anytime you listen to any type of shows where there's some type of advice being given or whatever the storyline is, always listen to it and apply it to yourself, even though they're not talking to you. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
The reason why you're listening to it, because it is you.
Yeah.
I listen to what I say to people. I just learned how to do that in the last few years. I just learned how to listen to what's coming out in my readings and apply it to my life.
Well, I always tell people I'm a great teacher. I just never listen to what I say.
Uh-huh. Well,
those that do, and those that can't teach.
but it's not as harsh as that. It's not as harsh as that. Those who want to get better at what they do teach.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
Well, I teach to, like you said, I teach to understand because I'm studying. I have to study in order to teach, right? So thus,
a teacher because you're a terrible student.
Oh, very.
Oh, totally, totally. But you're the type of student I love in my classes because you catch on so quickly. I mean, you really catch on so, even though you're befuddled in your own head. But after a while, a very short while, you catch on very quickly. Then you have all the crazy questions.
Yeah.
All the existential questions.
Yeah, I keep people on their toes.
Exactly. And you make a class desirable for other students and a nightmare for teachers.
And a nightmare for doctors, nightmare for dentists, anybody that's of any type of authority. It's like, oh my God, here she comes. So, and folks, we're not even going to try to take any telephone calls right now. As a matter of fact, we're at the end of our show for tonight. But what I want people to understand is this is the first show. This is our premiere. So we got a few little glitches that we got to work out. But I think as a premiere show, it went fairly smooth. So, and I want to thank Vincent for making it such an informative show, an entertaining type of a show. This show had a little bit of everything tonight, and it takes a good, co-host or guest or whatever, tag, which, you know me, I don't believe in tags, but it takes a good individual to make, when working with another person, to make something happen, and like a show like this, because I think that we touched a lot of people tonight, so that's good. And of course, naturally, it takes a listening audience like yourself to support us, by listening to us, to make the show successful, and based on the screen and all your wonderful questions tonight, we can see that you enjoyed our show, and all of you enjoyed felt that you had very good readings tonight. So thank you, Vincent, for being right on Now, again, remember, this show is every Thursday night from 6 Central to 8. And sometimes we'll do a show like this, and then sometimes Vincent will have a guest on, so the first hour. So I guess it's going to be Vincent's show. So if you guys want to ask questions about what's going to be on, best place to do is go on over to Vincent's site and ask Vincent, because I really probably won't even know what's going on until just about an hour before the show. So anyhow, you can go to, this is The Journey Home with Vincent J. Vera, and you can go to burlingtonnews.net/Vera, B-A-R-R-A. All the contact information is there, as well as ways of being able to interact on these shows every Thursday night. So anything that you need to say or want to say, Vincent?
I just want to say thank you so much. I cannot believe that 2 hours went by so fast.
Always does when you're having fun.
It certainly does. And thank you, everyone out there. And I always end the show with saying, tonight or today or tomorrow when you go out, remember, make memories.
Very good advice. And we made a memory tonight, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
And you're listening to BUFO Radio, The Journey Home with Vincent J. Barra and Mary Sutherland. Good night now. God bless.